Welcome. You're listening to the Fly Fishing Journeys podcast, live from the Fly Fishing Show in Pleasanton, California. Fly Fishing Journeys is proud to be broadcasting live from the event and having great conversations with many of the finest fly fishing and fly tying experts in the world. You can find these podcasts posted to our website, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and Facebook. To stay up to date with these and other Fly Fishing Journeys adventures, please be sure to follow and subscribe. Here's your host, Rob Giannino.
To sit with Jen and Chris Bird for this podcast was fly fishing coming full circle for me. It was really my brother Craig who inspired my interest to learn about fly fishing after I came home from college. We grew up two brothers fishing the creek or local pond. Fishing was our thing. It was our bond. In the late 90s, it was attending the Fly Fishing Consumer Show that inspired me to take up fly fishing. It was later that the International Fly Fishing Film Festival, also known as IF4, which inspired my passion of fly fishing as well as filmmaking. As producers of Fly Fusion Magazine, Fly Fusion TV, and the IF4 Film Festival, the Birds and their team are dedicated to put out high-quality fly fishing media content in various formats. As a reader, well, a viewer of Fly Fusion Magazine, a subscriber of Fly Fusion TV, and an annual attendee of IF4, I'd say they're doing just that. It's certainly overused to say this was a fun conversation, but you can't get within 10 feet of the Birds without finding yourself in a great conversation that usually ends up in some great laughter. The combination of fly fishing and media is something that fuels me. To get a close-up look at the success of Fly Fusion was just a joy. Seeing a couple and a team doing it right, doing it well, and dare I say, arguably doing it the best, was more than I could have hoped for this conversation. You'll even find out about the Birds and the Bees. But before we jump in, let me thank our sponsors. If you'd like to travel on an exclusive fly fishing dream vacation to Iceland with myself and Tim Camisa of Trout and Feather, visit iceland2020.net. Spots are very limited and are already being filled. The Fly Fishing Show runs the largest consumer of fly fishing shows in the world. Visit flyfishingshow.com for all the details on the 7-location nationwide tour. Do you have a rotary vise or maybe even thought about getting one or upgrading yours? Here's a short message about our favorite fly tying vise.
From the original prototype designed in the late 70s to our brand new legacy stainless steel vise released in 2018, Norvise has been committed to one thing, efficiency. Tie better flies faster. A long-standing slogan with the company truly encompasses what the Norvise fly tying system does. What it means is to tie a fly in less time and more consistently due to the ease and benefits engineered into this outstanding system. For more information, please visit www.nor-vise.com. Norvise, the most innovative fly tying system on the market.
All right, thanks, Josh. And we are so excited to have Chris and Jen Bird, who serve as the publishers of Fly Fusion Magazine. Chris also serves as the editor, and Jen is the publisher. You might also have heard about Fly Fusion TV series, which they produce, right. And then also the IF4, the International Fly Fishing Film Festival, which is an amazing series of movies that you catch at all the film festivals. So, guys, thanks for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
So cool. So let's talk a bit about the magazine first, and we're going to get into the backstory here. Want to learn how you guys met.
How we met.
How you met. But let's start.
Decades ago.
Just the other day.
Yes.
Chris, you founded the magazine with your brother Derek. How did that happen?
We started in, this process would have started about 2003. I think the magazine was born in 2004. And we, I was working at a fly shop in Cochrane, Alberta at the time. And, was looking for something to do for the rest of my life and thought that it would be, you know, fun to get into the magazine space. So yeah, Fly Fusion was born in the back of a fly shop in Cochrane, Alberta, sitting on a leather bar stool with a 3-ring black binder with sheets of paper in it. Yeah.
And just a thought, just a dream.
Just a hope.
Yeah.
A hope that that I could have a career inside of, I grew up in a very McLean's type home where it was only, there was three brothers instead of two.
Yep.
But, this fly fishing permeated our growing up years. And so as part of, who I was, I thought it would be fun to, make a career out of it. And that was the idea.
Where did you grow up, Chris?
Cranbrook, BC. Yeah. Okay. Southeastern corner of British Columbia.
So kind of on the backside of Banff, if you will?
Yeah, exactly. We like to call it the Montana of British Columbia. Yeah.
I was just up in Calgary, and I got to visit Kananaskis County, which is kind of like as you know, the Albertan Provincial Park.
Yes. Provincial Park. Yeah.
Which is kind of next to the National Park of Banff.
That's right.
But gorgeous.
It is. It's,
and then you guys are kind of like on the BC side of that.
We're just the other side of the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah, so cool.
It's beautiful. It's a good part of the world to live in.
So that's where you grew up. And Jen, where did you grow up?
So I grew up in Calgary, but kind of my teen years on, I was in Cranbrook.
Okay.
So, yeah, this is back to home for us. Hopefully it'll call our kids home one day, too.
That's so neat.
Yeah.
And how did you guys meet? I said I wanted to find out how you met. How did you meet?
I'm gonna let Jen tell that story.
Because you don't remember. No. We're college sweethearts.
Okay.
So we went to the College of the Rockies, and we spent probably more time in the lounge than we did in class. And we got married as babies at 21, and this all kind of went from there.
Yeah.
And so that's the name of the college, College of the Rockies.
College of the Rockies. I remember that a little differently. I remember there was a student lounge where we spent a lot of time. There was no learning in the student lounge, just as a side note. But I remember walking into, it might have been an English class or something, and walking past her. And I recall her, you know, giving me the eye. And that's how I remember it.
So this is how
this
happened.
Yeah.
And
I think I fell for that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the rest is history.
The rest is absolutely
that's
history.
Right. Yeah. We were talking about this a few months ago. I don't think that Fly Fusion would be where it is today. You know, I might have been sitting on that bar stool, but we would not be sitting here had it not been for Jen's giftings in the area of finance and strategy and planning. And, you know, she's the one that's really made the magazine what it is.
Well, and that's what, you know, we've got to know you here the past few days. It's so great to get to know you guys and spend some time. But that's what you've consistently said. You know, Derek and I may have founded it, but the magazine has actually grown because of the work that Jen does on the publishing side. So that's super cool.
He's the entrepreneur. I kind of stick my feet in the sand and say that we need to do things the safe way. So, so it's a good balance.
That's awesome.
That's the thing,
One of the things I was asking you earlier about, Jen, is maybe you can tell us what goes into making a good article, like a good editorial piece.
Yeah, so I kind of struggled with that question when you first asked it, but I really believe that we've approached it from many different angles over the years as far as, you know, giving people topical ideas and also just taking in queries and trying to assemble them. But really, the process works best when people are being innovative and creative. And the story comes together more organically when it's an idea that somebody has come up with on their own. So we've just been really blessed to work with some of the best in the industry that just keep reinventing what we're doing. So,
well, let's talk a bit about that. Who would be some of the authors of your articles that people would know?
Yeah, so obviously Derek Bird is our founding editor, and he does a lot of writing in the magazine. Jim McLennan is a supporting editor as well and has been an author and a presenter in the industry forever. We work with some awesome the magazine you're holding has Tom Rosenbauer in it. I'm not sure if there's better authors out there than some of these guys, but I mean, honestly, we've sort of worked from this strategy of dreaming up the people that we'd love to work with and then just systematically going about tracking them down so that we can work with them. Luckily, most of them have said yes. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah. It's been a great experience.
What would you say sets Fly Fusion apart or makes it different, like a unique spin? Obviously, there's a number of magazines in the space and each of them have their own place. What would you say Fly Fusion's core values or core message is?
I'm going to throw that to you. That's a good question.
You keep doing
that,
Chris.
Awesome. Yeah. He does.
That's not how you said when this was going to happen, by the way.
That's how it works between us, No, it's his baby, but I think really our vision has always been that we set out to create something that was different than what was already out there.
Yeah.
And so we're not just trying to be another fly fishing magazine in the market. We're trying to do something that really embodies the core of why we all get out there to do it. So that's why you always pick up the magazine and see these big, beautiful images that just make you want to get back out on the water. We try to do a lot of educational aspects within the magazine, skill development. We think that that's really like as you develop as an angler, you want to learn those new skills and techniques. And so there's a lot of information in our magazines, but it's really about the heart and culture behind fly fishing, I think.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's always that balance too, trying to figure out how much educational, how much story, how much destination, how much advertising.
Yeah.
Well, and it's really about finding the people that that's their niche. And so, and then just allowing them to do what they do, right?
Right.
We have some editors that do stillwater, that do steelhead, that do fly tying, and we don't put any parameters around what we want from them. They go crazy.
Yeah.
And it usually works.
And then, like, creatively, we work on the idea that nothing's perfect,
yep.
but that, you know, you're in constant pursuit of perfection. And so, you know, the first comment lets you off the hook because
yep.
you're never going to get it. But the idea is that when you're chasing things creatively, you know, in the pursuit of perfection, you know, in the effort to try and get there, again, with the understanding that nobody really ever gets there.
Right.
But that's the way that you make things better, you know. And being willing to have difficult conversations with people about your own content and, you know, receiving that feedback constructively and being willing to do things with it. I think, you know, one of the things that I've always said is that when we're in situations, whether it's like a trade show or some other public event where, you know, what we hear often is, you know, we love your magazine or we love the film festival, or that TV show is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. We hear that all the time, but, and we love that. We appreciate that. But what makes us better is the constructive feedback that
yeah.
we get. And that's what we sort of plug into and thrive on.
You talked about the photography here, and I see here on your masthead that Gilbert Rowley is the director of photography. Tell me about Gilbert and how he impacts the magazine.
So the director of photography is a title on the TV side.
Okay.
And so as a director of photography, Gilbert, you know, be responsible for production around the television series, you know, both pre-production and production, as well as post-production editing. He's got an amazing gift, and we love the marriage of what he brings to the table, along with, you know, some of the ideas and that Derek has, and
yeah.
Our new editor John Van Vliet, what he brings to the table. And so that marriage of those different talents is really what makes the Fly Fusion series or Fly Fusion Television so good.
I want to jump into the Fly Fusion TV series, but before we get mm-hmm. there, I want to talk about some of your field editors in the magazine itself, like a Derek Olthias.
Yeah.
Which would be a newer name, right? Is a newer, not a newer name, but a newer field editor for your magazine.
Yeah, he is. And he really came to us from the IF4 side of things. We built that relationship with them as filmmakers. And then, you know, he's traveling all over doing these films. And it just seemed like a natural fit to be able to tell some of those stories in the magazine as well. Really, Fly Fusion is the core of what we do. But we've built off these other products as marketing tools for Fly Fusion. So rather than going out there and finding other people to sing our praises, we went out and we created these other tools to be able to talk about Fly Fusion and other methods. So
yeah.
the film festival, the TV series, different events that we've done have really all been built off of Fly Fusion, but all to feed back into it. So yeah, so there's a lot of consistency you'll see with the people that are working in the magazine, but also in the film side of things too.
Yeah, and I love like Derek's storytelling ability, whether it be through the videos or mm-hmm. through his still imagery
mm-hmm.
or through his articles.
That's right.
And he has a new one here where he has some beautiful imagery from around the world, and you can see his eye through mm-hmm. his pictures.
Yeah.
And he's
yeah.
I just think Derek is an amazing storyteller.
Absolutely. Yeah. And really it was a concept about telling the story through the pictures. And there is a written story to go along with it, but his eye really, he tells the entire experience just through the visual.
Well, obviously a huge name in the industry is Jim McClellan. He serves as your managing editor. Tell me about the relationship with Jim over the years.
Oh, man. Jim, I believe, has been in every single issue of Fly Fusion. He's one of a handful of writers that's just been there. He's part of who we are
yep.
as a brand, as a magazine. He's just, you know, I was talking to the Orvis guys this morning, and Jim's name came up, and it just is, you know, listening to other people talk about him and nailing it, you know, he's just one of the most humble guys. And I hear this term in our industry a lot, but in a very genuine way, Jim is the most humble guy that I've met. He has, I'll tell you a quick story, and this sort of embodies Jim's approach to everything, I think. I had the opportunity to fish with him for the day on the Bow River a number of years back, and I'd acknowledge myself as a fairly impatient angler, just because, you know, I spend so much time pushing paper and, you know, traveling and all the rest of this. Like, when I actually get time to get out there and fish, I want to get at it.
Yeah.
And so I hopped out of the boat, and I'm doing my thing, and to no success. And I look over my shoulder, and Jim's standing by the boat still, 20 minutes later, still looking, just looking around and taking his time, and just, you know, no big deal. And then, you know, I'm flogging my way down this one back channel, and I look up, and Jim is walking towards a little area that to me just looked off. I'm like, I don't know what he's doing, but I trust it because the guy's like an amazing angler anyway. So he floats a dry fly through the water and pulls out a fish, like, you know, I mean, but this is Jim. This is, he's the methodical, thoughtful guy, and that's really his approach to most everything. He's just very, very thoughtful and, yeah, just a really good guy. But he's been there since the very beginning and will be there for as long as he wants to be there. We love him. He's part of the family.
Very patient.
Yeah.
You know, yes. to look
he
and to watch.
He has to be to stick it out with us for all these years.
You have to be patient.
Yeah, he is.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, let's talk a bit about the introduction, the origination of the Fly Fusion TV series.
Oh, yeah.
How did that come about and why did you decide to make a TV series?
Oh, man.
Because that's a ton of work.
It's a ton of work. It started with a couple of phone calls. It started with, I got to say, Derek never says a bad word about anybody. I mean, he just has a way of speaking that's very positive and... He called me one day and he said, man, I was watching this particular network and I've been sick all week and all I've been doing is watching it. And I think with his honesty or his lack of ability to, in that moment, to be able to pat it with positive words were coming from the Tylenol that he was taking. And so he just said, he's like, it's awful. There's nothing good out there. And
right.
So he said, what are we going to do about it? And this goes back to something that we've said from the very beginning, which is that there's no room anywhere for complaining. And complaining for us is sort of defined, creative complaining is defined as, speaking negatively about something with no feedback or options for how to improve it. And so
yep.
Derek was really, you know, at a large level, was doing what we've always done, which is he was complaining, but not, he was suggesting a solution for how we could fix it.
Yeah.
And my response in that phone call was, dude, we're not doing that. It's so expensive. And, you know, we've seen situations before where companies will try TV and it just goes badly. So I said, no, forget it. Another friend at the time, I called him up. He's in the production business and great guy, great company, Vantage Point Media House. Love those guys. I called him hoping that he would give me a number for production that would be absurd.
And so then you didn't have to do it.
Exactly. And then I could go back to everybody and be like, hey, Derek, thank you for that solution. But, you know, this is just, it's way outside of feasible. And I think that Nick picked up on what I was doing because he gave me a number that was totally feasible.
Wow.
And I just went, shoot. Like, so anyway, those two phone calls are really what sort of got it going. But I got to tell you, the first season of the Fly Fusion series was, you know, we shot it in 8 days, 6 episodes. And I, you know, outside of the important things like kids and getting married and, you know, that sort of stuff, I'm not like, it's at the top of my list creatively of environments that I've been in. You're out in the middle of nowhere. You've got people that are the best in their field and you're all moving in the same direction to create this thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's, you know, this is going to sound bad, but there's no dishes to do. There's no kids to pick up from school.
Right.
You just have no strings attached and you're just pursuing this creativity. Anyway, it's at the top of my list. Again, separating, you know, the more important things in
life.
But it's at the top of I just came home so refreshed from that experience. And that's what we're after.
Yeah.
That creative process is what we're after. And then just being able to, you know, to put creation on the map and show different parts of the world that people don't get to often or whatever the case might be, that's what drives us. So in the end, the Fly Fusion series in its origination, it was an exercise in showing people what a TV series in the fly fishing space should be.
That's
or
so
could
cool.
be. And we were using drones when people weren't really thinking about it and you know, hiring helicopters that it just for fly fishing budgets is absurd to
right.
do. And using, you know, at that time using red cameras. I mean, the whole thing was an exercise of absurdity.
Yeah.
And raising the bar.
And that's what it came right down to. And then of course we thought, you know, the first year we're like, you know, let's try it 1 year and then we'll put it out there and that'll be good. But then we became sort of addicted to the process.
The joy of it.
Oh, man, it's so amazing. And so then came season two and then came season three. And we've been chatting this week about, you know, different places in the world that we could go for season four. So
So that's what we're on now, season four.
We're on to season four.
So kind of 9 years in on the magazine, and now you're on to season four of Fly Fusion TV.
So we're 15 years in on the magazine.
Oh, the magazine is 15.
Yeah, 15 years old, and I think we're coming up on our 15th anniversary issue, and then we're heading into season four of the Fly Fusion series, and I think we're in
9 years
on the festival.
Okay, that's where the nine was.
Yeah.
What a great segue into the film festival.
Nice.
IF4. Yeah, like we planned that.
Yeah.
IF4, and I think you guys are really taking this whole indie film for the fly fishing to a whole giant new level. It's something that we can look forward to. It's connected as the premieres at all seven fly fishing shows. So you come on that Friday night or that Saturday night, you know you're going to get a couple hours of great films that you get to watch. And you do it in those short styles where it might be 8 or 9, and you could be clear on the numbers per se, but 8 or 9 short 8 to 12 minute films. They run the spectrum, so you could travel across the whole world in just a couple hours of watching the film festivals.
That's right.
And so now you're on your ninth season, the ninth year. Tell us a little bit about, again, the introduction and how that got started.
The origins. Why don't you take
We really were looking for something. Being from Canada, we didn't have anything in our neck of the woods. And so we really wanted to start something really small just to service the people that were around us. And over the years, it's just snowballed. Again, we just wanted to do something much like the magazine. We weren't looking to duplicate anything that was out there before. And so we just attacked it from a different angle. So film festivals, they're not new.
Yeah.
But we wanted to do something in our market that was, you know, that we could bring our boys out to, that they could enjoy to the same degree that the adults in the audience could enjoy. So we've kind of been recognized as being the family-friendly film festival, but still you're going to come for adventure, you're going to come for excitement, you're going to see parts of the world you've never seen before. And so it's a great option, and really just the same way that there's, I don't know, 400 fly fishing magazines in the market.
Yeah.
400?
As long as you offer something that's just a little bit different, it appeals to people's interests, right? So.
The you know, the film festival environment is, I mean, we're responsible for the you know, creating the network of distribution. We're responsible for the brand itself. We're responsible for all that, and we'll take full credit for that. But, you know, the International Fly Fishing Film Festival is as good as the filmmakers that are out there doing their thing. And there just is so many good people who are out there making good films, telling great stories. And, you know, yeah, that's what IF4 is. When people sit down, they don't go, hey, I like that logo. They don't say, hey, I really appreciate, you know, this thing or that thing. But they're talking about the experience that they get from a film that they've watched or a collection that they watched. Our involvement in selecting them and sort of piecing together the larger puzzle of films based upon the individual film units themselves, that's where we spend a lot of time and research and watching audiences and getting feedback and making decisions that will create, through the work that the filmmakers have done, that will create that feeling or that experience that people have when they come out to Denver that first year or on one of the whatever 100 and 125 different screenings around the world that take place. And Jen's right. We wanted 5 screenings at the beginning. Year one was 5 screenings. There was no call for 100 screenings. But there was a need in the marketplace for a family-friendly film event, and we unknowingly hit that button, and the rest is just sort of filled up, and we facilitated that.
That is so cool, because as soon as, like, the fly fishing show sets their dates, and we know when that date is, and that Friday night we know is going to be the film festival, I start, like, messaging my buddies, you know, my brother Craig, and we obviously start connecting, and, all right, let's get our tickets. So we go online, and we buy our tickets, and so that becomes an event for me and my brother.
Yeah.
Totally.
And what happens is, like, we grew up fishing together. Like, me and my brother is really the one who got me started into fishing, not so much fly fishing, because we used to spin fish. But it was coming to a fly fishing show that I learned how to fly fish. And so we still have that bond as fishing brothers that goes back forever. And so now that we get to, like, come to the show and see this amazing cinematography that's on the big screen together, that's like an event for us.
It inspires you at a time of year when you're maybe not getting out there as much.
Oh, sure.
Right? So,
yeah.
And really, like, the fly fishing show and IF4, they really embody this thing that I don't know if we've lost it, but it certainly adds to the community of fly fishing, really getting people together and sharing in that passion too.
Yeah.
And so that's why we love those events as well, because, you know, you get 300-400 fly anglers in the room together, and
yeah,
it's just, it's infectious. It's,
yeah,
the excitement is, it's something to be experienced.
Yeah.
Well, I know the worldwide premiere in Denver had, mm-hmm, like over 700 people.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, yeah. I think we were close to 850 this year. Yeah.
850 in Denver?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I don't know if anyone was doing a head count, because
yeah,
it was pretty packed in there, but it's an exciting event.
There's, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, my bent in our business is on the marketing side, and that's sort of what, you know, that's my wheelhouse inside our company. But I think a lot of times people like me overthink the metrics of things, or the engagement on things, or, you know, the numbers, whatever. But at the end of the day, when we're talking about, you know, wherever in the world that a screening is taking place,
yep,
what I'm really after is none of that. What I'm after is, are those moments where people just have a moment, right?
Yeah.
Where they're touched by a film, or they're engaged by it in like a meaningful way. And I'm not,
yeah,
talking about like double tapped on Instagram. I'm talking about they actually got lost in a film because they were relating to it.
It took them someplace.
Right. Yeah. Those are the moments we're looking for. And I think with IF4, we sort of work with this idea that we have a pretty good idea on what the audience is looking for. And so, you know, the majority of the films are there because we want to provide the audience with what we know that they want.
Yeah.
But then there's these films that come along, and whether it's a message piece or something that's just close to us.
Yeah.
And we put it in there because, you know, it's sort of the idea of providing the audience what we think they don't know yet that they want.
Right? Sure.
Testing things, whether it's a comedy, or like this year there's an amazing film on that deals with hate.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, people are just loving that, right? It's a good,
yeah,
time to talk about that.
That's the bigotry to brook trout.
That's right, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, and great message, you know, and like, yeah, very self-aware.
Yeah.
Almost a self-confession.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the music that goes behind that.
Yeah. But I mean, think about that. When you're talking about, and I don't like this term, but when you're talking about traditional fish porn,
yeah,
you know, who would have thought that there could be a film festival traveling around the globe that is carrying a message about hate,
right?
And getting away with it, and not just getting away with it, but actually people sort of, you know, receiving it and embracing it.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, yeah.
Well, I've been able to carry on that movie just on Spotify because I went ahead and I grabbed that, you know, because I have the premium membership where you can listen,
yeah,
or whatever, and so I found that song.
Cool.
And now I'm listening to the whole album from the soundtrack from,
yeah,
the movie.
From the movie. Awesome. Very cool. Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
So I enjoy that. And
yeah,
tell me a bit about the Fly Fusion TV and like the series and how you get kind of, not to subscribe, but like what my expectations are if I was a member.
You're going to throw that over to me.
Yeah, I'll throw that to you first. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have been for 9 years now getting questions about how you can see IF4 after it's off the screen each year. And so we sort of came up with this idea to start our own streaming site. Mostly so that we can make those available, but now we have all this content because we're doing these TV shows, we're doing some casting series, and so really it was meant to be a home for our own content. And as we've been putting that up there, there's been more and more filmmakers that are wanting to get in on the game and have some distribution for their films as well. And so,
right,
the content is building and building, and so, yeah, so you can go online to flyfusionstreaming.com. You can subscribe. It's pretty low fee when compared to Netflix and other options that are out there. You're paying a small quarterly fee, and you can get tons of fly fishing content, high level fly fishing.
Yeah, and I think that at the heart of all of this stuff, like we've covered off the magazine and the TV series and the film festival and the streaming site, I think at the heart of why we are engaging in these areas is because quite a while ago we decided that it wasn't up to us to tell people how to consume what we were making. So creating a situation where, you know, if we only had a magazine, what we're saying is if you want Fly Fusion content, you got to go buy it on the newsstand. Well, what about the guy that doesn't have time,
right,
yet to read?
But he has a phone.
But he's got, mm-hmm, a phone. And so, you know, and whether it's, yeah, it's us acknowledging that there is a need for us to acknowledge that the media consumer, the fly angler, the fly fishing community, if we put it out in a way where anything that we have to say or any content we want to put out there, you can see it on a silver screen in a theater, in Missoula. You can buy it on the newsstand at a fly shop, you know, or you can go on a streaming site somewhere. What we're talking about is acknowledging that we have two within our industry, and I'm not going to nerd out on you by going too far down this rabbit hole, but we've got two primary audiences, and they don't want the same type of content, mm-hmm. and they don't consume it the same way. And so creating content in ways that are meaningful to the people consuming it is what's at the heart of what we do. And it's kind of like, as an example, if you're talking to a 25-year-old guy and you're speaking to him in a way that is comfortable for him and that he'll receive well, and you take that same conversation and you talk to, you know, my dad, who's 74, and you say it in the exact same way that you were talking to the 25-year-old, yeah, it's going to fall short.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Before I close, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you for that young videographer, that cinematographer, that guy who's out there seeing these movies and knows he, you know, he may have a shot. He knows he's got some camera equipment.
Yeah.
And he wants to contribute. And maybe if he doesn't even make the festival, but at least to make a submission. Mm-hmm. How does that process work?
So, yeah, no, we want to see them all.
Yeah.
And my encouragement of filmmakers out there is don't think that your stuff isn't good enough, because it might just be good enough. And we have examples over the last 9 years of people who thought they weren't good enough. And yet, you know, one of our guys or one of the people in our organization saw something in a particular, like the potential of a particular filmmaker. And we went after that and helped them develop that. And now they're part of the mix of the main presentations now of our core. And so we're always looking for these people. But I would say that on a content level, I've got two thoughts. One is I'll share a quick anecdotal story with you about a photographer that touched base with me one time and said, hey, I want to be on the cover of your magazine, but I you know, and my photos are good and I think they're better than the photos that you're using, which is a subjective thing, I suppose.
Sure.
But how do I get on the cover of your magazine? What kind of photo do you want? And I said, my response didn't land well, but it was the truth. Which is, I don't know. But when I see it, or when John Van Vliet sees it, or when Jen sees it, or when Derek sees it, or when Jim sees that photo that we have to have on the cover of Fly Fusion, we know it at that point. But it's your creativity, it's your passion, it's your heart that is resulting in these photos that we want. And the same is on the filmmaking side. You know, we've been talking lately about, you know, we've come from a history of working with RED cameras and these very expensive tools.
Yeah.
And yet some of the films that are out there now are being shot on Sony cameras that are, you know, only $5,000 or might only be $2,000 or whatever the case might be. And it's really the great films, the ones that resonate with audiences around the globe and IF4, are the ones that contain heart. There's no business approach to it. It's just a filmmaker that had an eye for a story to tell,
yep.
and they went out and their heart drove the production of it, not their wallet. And that's where magic happens.
Is it public information to know about how many submissions you get?
Yeah,
for videos.
Am I including all of the you know, we get some iPhone videos too. Am I including those?
You can include that.
Yeah. We get about, you know, 60 or 70 a year.
Okay, well, I would think the number was bigger.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's...
Well, because it's not easy. I mean, it's not necessarily something you can just throw together on a weekend.
Yeah, it's
not. This is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, a lot of our filmmakers are out there, you know, April shooting, and, you know,
yep.
it's a rare thing for us to be sitting in October...
waiting for
having
stuff to come
in. Comfortable conversation saying we have everything. More often than not, these things come in last minute, and I don't think we're the exception to the rule on that one. But there's probably, you know, 20 films that are really festival
level
ready level.
Yeah.
And what I think is the most exciting, you know, I obviously love being one of the guys that gets to let somebody know that their film's been accepted. And one of my worst nightmares when I've got to come into work and I know I've got to let somebody down, I hate that. It drives me crazy. But when we're letting people down, there are some filmmakers. There's a film in here this year where the filmmaker didn't make it in a previous year, but we noticed something and say, hey, please keep trying, please submit again. And I remember as a kid having that, I thought it was a line being fed to me, but I want to be very clear. When we tell you that, that's a very genuine thing, because we see something in your talents, and this filmmaker came back this year and has a film in it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So of the 60, then you're down to 20, and actually, but how many make the festival?
Eight or nine.
So I was right on. Yeah. Eight or nine.
That's right. And I think, you know, for us, there's a magic number that we try to get to every year as far as running time, and it's about 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Right.
You got to hold somebody's attention.
And we never hit it. We're usually an hour. I think this right now, we're hour 38 or something. But, you know, I mean, there's a magic number where people are leaving refreshed.
Engaged.
And they're engaged. Yeah. You betcha.
Well, this has been such a great time to talk with you guys. It's been so enjoyable.
Man. Thank you.
One more time, please let our listeners know how they can find both the magazine online and then the TV series.
That's all you, Jen.
Again.
So magazine is flyfusionmag.com. Film Fest, you can get all your tickets and information about locations near you at flyfilmfest.com. Streaming sites, flyfusionstreaming.com. And most of those, if you go to one, you can find the others.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
The birds, it's been great to have you guys on. Can I tell one quick anecdote before we go?
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
Last, is it safe?
No. Absolutely not. Yeah, this one's going way over the line. Last night, Jen, at dinner, you said that you were looking to maybe get some bees.
Yes. Oh. Okay.
You didn't know where I was going.
Over the line. Okay. Yes, bees.
Bees.
Yes.
What, Jen, what line were you thinking we were going to go over?
I don't
know.
Okay. I was sitting next to you. I never know. Yes. No.
Tell me why you're excited about bees.
Well, being the birds.
Yeah.
We have a thriving farmer's market in our local town, and I just think that there's an untapped potential for our honey producing abilities in selling our brand of the birds and the bees.
The birds and the bees. And of course, you know, Jen would be the fly fishing publishing tycoon who has time for taking care of bees.
All the beekeeping. Yeah, I don't think so. I think that's going to be your job.
Who wouldn't buy the birds and the bees?
I would buy it. It's a great gift for the wife.
Seriously.
On Valentine's Day.
Oh, man.
Yep.
I hope
it's our next initiative.
I love Jen, and I like bringing her desires to life, but I'm telling you, I do not want bees.
No.
Bees are not happening.
It's coming.
No.
Bees are not happening. Sure, we will have bees.
Bees are the next thing. Yep.
Guys, thanks again.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to Fly Fishing Journeys with your host, Rob Giannino. To be notified of new episodes, subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or Google Podcasts. You can follow us on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. For past episodes, check out flyfishingjourneys.com. Fly fishing is a journey, and we're glad you're on this journey with us.